dear friend and someone I love very much, Brother Russell Lee, wants to say a few words to the congregation.
Well, friends, as I come to say a few words about my mother, I don't think there's anything that I can add to the testimony that the life that she lived. Most of the people that I look at and see today are here for the reason of loving her and having known her and having shared some good times with her. And there's no way to add to that. She was faithful unto the end. She was a loving mother and wife. And I guess one thing that I'd have to say before all of you is that I was blessed to be her son. To have a mother that prayed for you and prayed for your soul. Even when I was in her womb, I feel she prayed for my soul and for each of her children. As we went about our lives and trials came our ways, she was faithful to be there to pray for us and encourage us. And even when she didn't know of our troubles, she still supported us in prayer. And this is over and beyond the call sometimes of mothers, because a lot of times all we look is at flesh and blood. We don't realize that the spirit is what's important. And if there's one thing I could say to young people, and there are a few here, as we're progressing in life and we're wanting to get ahead and wanting to go forward, it may be a good time just to back up a little bit, get to know your grandparents and get to know some people that have been in this world for a while. Get to know what moral values are and integrity is. And when a man places his trust in you and he's faithful to you, and get to know him, get to know what these things mean. These are not things that you can look up in the dictionary, but this is what life was made of, and this is the fiber that the people that I've come across that were friends of my mother and dad. So it's real important today that we get to know one another, that our word becomes our word, and that's our bond. And a companion, I tell you, Dad couldn't ask for a better companion. She was faithful always. She was always his support. She worked hard. There were trials, but yet they loved one another. And that trust that they had with one another is what caused them to make it. 59 years is a while. Sometimes just a few days, people can't make it. But trust is something that you have to develop. It's not something that's given. So I guess the only thing I can say is her testimony as a mother, as a wife, and as a Christian above all things has shone forth in the life that she lived even after her illness. She was still faithful. The spirit within her showed that she had peace and comfort. And that's something that I think we need to look for. I pray that anyone here that does not know the Lord today might look at her life. And if there's one thing that she would want you to do today, is remember that.
If no more was said, that would be sufficient. I'm grateful God gave him the grace to say that. It wasn't easy to stand here, speak of his mother that he loved so dearly. And time would never permit me to say all that needs to be said today to you, a congregation of people who've come to remember this dear one who's gone on to be with the Lord. But for the few minutes that's allotted to me, I want to speak to everyone here, both Christian and non-Christian alike, for in a congregation this size, you always have a mixed group. My heart goes out to you, dear ones, who have suffered such a loss in this life. I know what it is. I can identify with you children. In 1975, the Lord took my mother home. And I await the day that I can, by the grace of God, leave this world also and be where she is with Christ. I want to speak to you, and the message will run in two directions. First of all, I want to speak for a few minutes about Sister Lee. And secondly, I want to address every heart in this place. So please be attentive to me, if you would, for a few moments. But before I begin, I want to say that this is more than a memorial service. It's a celebration. People don't look at it like that. Christian people do. For she has been loosed from the bondage of a body and has gone to be with her Lord and set free forevermore. And what a glorious and wonderful thought that is. Then I want to speak for a moment. It's not only a celebration, but it's more than a funeral service. It's a worship service. The songs were very appropriate, don't you think? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It's a time of reflection on the part of each and every one of us. But we need to take a few minutes to reflect upon the precious memories that she left behind. And secondly, to reflect upon the state of our own soul before Almighty God. As I said, we do not weep for her. We rejoice for her, because she's at peace with God and in the presence of the dear Savior. I want to read to you from Psalm 116 and verse number 15. Many of you may not know this verse exists in the Word of God. The Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Now, isn't that a marvelous thing? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7, it says, "To those who believe, He that is Christ is precious. And what He counts precious, we count precious." And the precious thing has happened. January the 20th, 1995, she went home to be with the Lord forevermore. Preaching a funeral oftentimes brings great grief to a preacher's heart when he knows that that life has not been a life of faith, but a life of sin. What can he say in a situation? Have you ever thought about that? What can he say in a time such as that? Someone who does not know Christ. But praise God, we don't have that situation today. I'm not at a loss for words at all. As a matter of fact, it's times like this that gives me great peace in preaching the Word of God. Because I know who she was, and I know what she was by God's grace. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I was going through some of my notes that I have preached in years past, and I ran across a message. It was dated 1993, Cheetah Baptist Church, first message. I came here and preached the first time as a supply, filling in for the pastor at that time. After the service, this gracious couple took my family to their home, and there I ate the first meal that I ever eaten in Cheetah. And what a meal it was. And at that time, I had no idea that this dear sister had been diagnosed with this terrible disease. I could hardly tell it. I didn't even know it. But several years later, I was called to pastor this church. And upon coming here, I found that her condition had worsened. And then, a few months passed, a few years passed, and she became even worse. But I remember so vividly, oft times, Brother Horace would bring her to the service. She would come in the door talking and jabbering. Couldn't understand what she was saying. She was hardly controllable. But the moment she sat down, we either began to read the scripture or to sing a hymn. She would sit there quietly and reverently in the presence of Almighty God until we had dismissed everyone. Yes, her mind was leaving her, but her spirit was still intact. And she knew down deep in her soul what was going on. That always blessed me so much to see that, because the Spirit of God was upon her and truly within this dear lady. She didn't have to speak all those months to tell anybody she was a Christian. Her life revealed it. And the Spirit of God bore witness in her soul to other men and women that she was truly a child of God. You know, our lives touch and influence everybody around us, either to the good or to the bad. Hers to the good. Whether it be her children, whether it be her friend, or whether it be her husband. I want to read to you for a few minutes from the book of Proverbs, a wonderful book. And I want to give you a description of this dear lady from the Word of God. There are but few that you can do this with, but I can with her. And it says in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 10, the question is asked, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he hath no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And we heard the testimony just a few minutes ago. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Wonderful description of a Christian woman. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is a praise service. It's a worship service. In honor of one who through life was faithful to her Lord, even to the very end. And let me say to you, she was many things to many people, but she was first of all a woman, and a woman in the true sense of the word as described in the Word of God. Secondly, she was a wife, and I say to you, a wife in the true sense of the word, not merely in title. She lived the life of a true wife. She loved and supported her husband. I have seen in not only in her life, but in the life of this dear one sitting here, the unfolding before my very eyes of the marriage vows, because these two took a vow some 59 years ago that forsaking all that would cleave one to the other, and did that until the day of her death. Would to God that was so in so many cases. She was sick many years. And I see there again the unfolding of a vow that was taken. For that vow is this, in sickness and in health. I've also seen in the children, the writer of the book of Proverbs says, forsake not your mother when she is old. And they have not done that, but have stuck by her side and have loved her and taken care of her. And I appreciate that so very much. I saw this unselfishly unfold before my very eyes. This dear brother loved, cared for, and nourished her to the very, very end. I'm convinced that had the circumstances been reversed, she would have done exactly the same thing, because there was that bond of Christian love in their hearts. She was a wife, a true wife. She had the spirit of a wife. God gave that to her. Thirdly, she was a mother. I don't have to add anything to what Russell said. She was a mother. It's not merely that she had children. Many have children whom you cannot really call mothers. She mothered her children. It's a real mother who will pray for her children while they're still in the womb. When they cause trouble and trial comes, she still weeps over them and prays for their souls. I am saying to you today that her greatest desire, even now, if she were here and had her right mind, would tell you in a moment the one thing that she would want for all of her children is for them to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. She was a real mother. A mother indeed. And let me say to you, God has seen fit to take from you one of earth's most cherished gifts, and that's a godly mother. For you see, he wanted her fellowship. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. I want you to be where I am. And there she is today. Oh, I tell you, the choicest gift, a sweet gift, is a good mother. I had a good mother. I had a wonderful mother. She was a mother, so fine and true. There was nothing for you she wouldn't do. Going through life, doing good deeds, praying to God, everyone to please. She always had a listening ear for the things that you might fear. She could make problems seem so small. She had the answers, one and all. She looked on everyone with love, for she knew the one above. She never once gave up hope. She looked to tomorrow with vision of hope. She's gone now to her home above, the one she cherished so much with love. We will all miss her in this life below, but we'll see her again someday, I know. Time has run out. Life comes to a close, but there's one thing we surely know. God has one of the sweetest angels anyone could ever know, our mom. Praise God for that. Let me say to each and every one of us here today, we're eternally bound souls. And as her time run out, she had an allotted time. Our time is running out. And may I be very frank and very open and honest with you today and ask you a question. How much time do you have left? Who knows? Only God. But I say to you, she used her time well. And after having read this, I want to ask the question, because there's a part in it that says, someday we'll see her again. I know. Do you have that hope of ever seeing her again? Some here do and some do not, I'm sure. Do you possess that hope? Is there fear in your heart that you just might not see her again? If you hope to see her again some glad day, then in that day you must be able to stand with the redeemed, with whom she stands, and in the presence of the Savior. If you hope to go where she is, then you must go where Christ is. And if you desire to go where she is, then you must be what she was, a child of God, a redeemed one, one saved by God's marvelous grace and washed in the precious blood of the Savior, sins forgiven, pardoned, done away with, and put away in the blood of Jesus Christ by faith in Him. Anything short of that, dear one, will leave you without. You must know the Savior. I speak to you as a friend and one who loves your soul. She was fourthly a grandmother and a great-grandmother. And no doubt as good as that, with that as she was with anything else. I saw her handiwork. It was pointed out to me the other night at home that all the wedding dresses of the girls, she made every one of them. Very good woman. And she loved the Lord. And then fifthly, she was a friend. You don't have many friends in life, but a cherished friend, no doubt to you and to her husband. But above all else, she was a Christian. I thank God I can stand here and say that today. And not only was she a Christian, she was not merely a Christian in name, she lived the life of a Christian. Her life exhibited the person of Christ. Yeah, in her latter years, her mind was leaving her, but the Spirit of God never did. He was always there, for He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Many years ago, I pastored a church out in the country and was out one day wandering through the tombstones, and there an old, old stone was there. It did not have a name on it at all. It simply said, a sinner saved by grace, and I wanted to shout. If there's one thing I'd like to be able to say about anyone that I preach their funeral is, they're saved by the grace of God. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't make any difference how high you got in this world. That doesn't matter. It's whether or not you're a child of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. She fought a good fight. She kept the faith and she finished her course. And there is laid up for her a crown of righteousness. There's never a gathering of people on this earth, but what there's a mixture of joy and sorrow. I know that you children, myself, there seems to be a bit of sorrow in my heart because she's gone. Even knowing her condition, there's still that sorrow because she isn't present with us anymore. But on the other hand, there's great joy in knowing that she's been set free and she sits in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And one glad day, when the trumpet sounds and when we hear the voice of the archangel, all of God's children, all the redeemed, all the blood-washed saints will gather together in the presence of Christ, without any mixture of sorrow and joy, just everlasting joy, never to be separated again. And what a marvelous day that is to look forward to. Now let me speak for a few minutes to each one of you, because every one of you today will be in one of two categories here. You are either a believer or an unbeliever. You are either saved or you're not saved. You either know the Savior or you do not know Him. And I am not your judge. I simply ask you to reflect upon the state of your own soul as I speak to you today. Dear ones, we're faced with reality. This is reality. We have laid before us a hunk of clay, a body that was housed by a dear woman at one time. This isn't her. This is merely the house that she lived in, that has been beat upon by the storms of life and yet has been loved and cherished all of these years. But the spirit of this dear woman has gone to be with Christ who gave it. Yeah. Let me speak to you a minute. There's sorrow, there's no doubt. But we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. As I said, I can identify with you children, but I can also say that 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there has no trial taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tried above that you are able, but will with the trial also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. But do you have that way of escape? And let me say to you, if you don't know Christ, you won't know how to deal with this grief. This thing will overcome you and bring you down. But in Him we have peace and comfort and joy. And that's the difference between being a Christian and a non-Christian. We have the peace of God at this hour that passes all understanding. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And one glad day, the morning will break of eternity. And our weeping shall be. Dear ones, we live in a land of weeping. We often think we live in the land of the living. This is the land of the dying. Am I right or not? Have you ever wondered what it means? What is life? When God was dealing with my own soul, and I never really thought of this before, but when God by His Spirit began to deal with my soul, I began to wonder, what is life? What's it all about? What's the purpose of it? You're born into this world, and you grow up as a baby, and then you become an adolescent and a teenager, and before long you marry and you have children, only to grow up and die. What's the purpose? And then one day I found out, Jesus Christ is the purpose of life. And let me say to you, a life that is lived apart from the Lord Jesus Christ is a wasted life. No matter how good it is, it's still wasted. And I say to you today, what the doctors could not do with all their technology, Christ did in a moment. He set her free and gave her a good mind. As a matter of fact, right now, she has a better mind than you and I do. She's in good shape. She's in the presence of the Lord. For this we rejoice. And our sorrow is because we'll miss her. The question might be asked, if she isn't there, where is she? I've had people ask, where is she? Where did she go? If she isn't here, well, she isn't here. She's gone. But where did she go? Now, there's a lot of questions about the intermediate state, that is, between death and the resurrection. And I don't intend to stand up here and try to prove or disprove anything. I'm simply saying I know where she is. I know where she is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said it's far better to depart and to be with Christ. And the best condition that you and I might be in this world, whether it be financially, physically, or any other thing, it would still be far better to be with Christ. Think of her and her condition. How much better is it that she be with the Lord Jesus Christ? I know that. Let me say, folks, where is heaven? It's wherever Christ is. That's sufficient. That's sufficient. She's with Him, so she's in heavenly places. no matter where that might be. I'm not here to answer a bunch of theological questions. I'm just here to tell you where she is. She's with Christ at this very moment. There's a song, and a little part of it I want to quote to you. And this, no doubt, could be our brother's very words. If you hasten off to glory, you linger near the eastern gate. For I'm coming in the morning. You won't have long to wait. I'll meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate. Now let me say a few words to those of you here today that may not know Christ. My heart goes out to you because I don't know what I could possibly say or do to make you realize the great need of your soul. Those of you that have not yet repented and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your sin bearer, let me ask you a question. If this were you, where would you be? If this were you, where would you be? And if it were you, what could the preacher say about you? What could he say if you didn't know the Lord? He would stand before you speechless in grief, knowing where you were. I could say many things about you. I could say that you were a good neighbor and even a good friend. I could say that you paid your debts on time, took care of your children. I could say a lot of good things about you. But that won't get you to heaven. I could say that you never murdered anybody. That won't get you to heaven. I could even say that maybe you've been baptized. But that won't get you there either. You can't stand before God alone. You must have a go-between. You must have an offering. And thank God we have one that I would offer you at this very moment. And that's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Do you know him today? You can't turn him away. God has provided a lamb for himself in the person of his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for sinners. She'd be the first one to tell you that he died for me. For she loved him and she was faithful to him all these many years. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood of the Lamb. It is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that brings us into life. Would you see this dear one again? You desire to? Do you have hope of seeing her again? Let me say to you, the only ones that are excluded are those who exclude themselves. I believe that with all of my heart. For this very reason, Christ stands ready to save any and every sinner that'll come to him by faith in his blood. Stands ready. He's more ready and willing to save you than you are to be saved. Let me say to you, that it's not only my responsibility and duty, but my privilege to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. You're faced again with reality today. This is reality. Men die. Women die. Children die. You say, we don't like to talk. Oh, we're here before it. We see it. It's in front of us. How can you ignore it? Don't pass it off. It's appointed unto men once to die. And she met her appointment, but she met it with dignity and integrity and grace. And with a forgiven spirit. Oh, listen. It's not the fact that I'm going to die, it's how I'm going to meet death that makes all the difference in the world. Do you know him today? Would you come to him today? I say to you, if you don't know Christ, don't you let the sun go down upon your head before you bow your knee in the presence of Christ and ask him for mercy to save you. Come to him. You'll find him to be very gracious and loving. I want to be kind to your soul today, and I don't know of any better way to do that than to be honest with you about your eternal state before God. I leave these words with you, both Christian and non-Christian, and pray that God's sweet Spirit would bring them home to your heart, if not today, maybe in a short time to come. And as far as this dear one has gone on to be with the Lord, we say farewell, dear sister. Farewell. We love you and we look forward to the day when we shall see you again on the other side. Until the sweet by and by, farewell. Farewell. Our Father, this is your word. It's eternal, it's truth. And if it's to be blessed, Lord, you'll have to bless it. If anybody's spoken to, Lord, you'll have to speak to them. We're shut up to that today. Oh, but blessed God, we plead with you. Send your sweet Spirit to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and cause them to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. I pray for this, my dear brother. And Lord, I know that there are times coming that his heart will be lonely and sorrow will overcome him and grief will run through his heart. But I pray that in that hour he truly would bow before the Lord Jesus and take his burden to Christ and find sweet peace. Lord, he's one of yours. You've redeemed him and washed him in the blood of your Son. And I pray now for the comforting of the Spirit of God upon his heart and life. And for these dear children, oh God, who love their mother dearly, and these grandchildren and great-grandchildren, these friends. Oh, Father, would you stand in the gap? Would you help us, oh Lord, in this hour? We commit ourselves into your trust as a faithful Creator. And we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in all that's said and done. For it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.